Show Me the Way podcast, From Employee to Owner. Show Me the Way, episode 22, Growth Through Acquisition with guest Jim Hoggett. In this episode, we talk with Jim about his firm's prior experience in helping companies prepare for an exit. Welcome to Show Me the Way, a podcast presented by Spencer Fain, LLP, about business succession planning, the merger and acquisition experience, and successful exits. I'm your host, Dave Sider. Before we dive into today's captivating discussion, for any of you podcast listeners out there, I have a feeling you'll be interested in the upcoming BEI National Exit Planning Conference taking place this August in one of my favorite spots of the world, Denver, Colorado. And to top it off, I will be speaking along with an esteemed panel of top-notch M&A advisors, investment bankers, and financial advisors. Together, we will delve into the current landscape and latest trends we are seeing in the M&A marketplace. If you are eager to be part of this conversation, please mark your calendars and make sure to join us at BEI National Exit Planning Conference this August. Details are available at BEI.com. And with that, let's shift our focus back to the discussion at hand. Joining me on today's show is Jim Hoggett, who is the founder and CEO of Executive HQ, a global consulting firm that provides, among other things, executives as a service solution to companies ranging from startups to $500 million in revenues. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the invite.
I want to go a little bit into the background of how we connected, and I would really like you to start with that. I'm trying to remember exactly how that happened, Jim. Maybe you could help me out.
Yeah, it was probably 7 or 8 years ago. I was a senior partner at a large CFO consulting firm and had started a practice in the Kansas City area, mainly because my kids and grandkids were there. We bought a second home in Kansas City. So we met early on after that in networking.
So let me start then from the very beginning. Where were you born and raised?
Yeah, so I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, back in the dark ages. And then my parents moved out to Scottsdale, Arizona, probably before I was 1 year old. So I've been in the Scottsdale area ever since that time, other than 4 years in Texas for college.
Well, and everybody's envious because 9 months out of the year, everybody wants to be in Arizona. So you've certainly got that going for you. So tell us about what Exec HQ is all about and what you're trying to do in the world for people.
Yeah, so good question. So Exec HQ is a global consulting firm. Probably the way we're different than many consulting firms. One is that we're a family first organization. When I started Exec HQ, I realized a lot of advisory firms may put their own profits or revenues as their primary goal. So we wanted to put our executives and their families as our primary goal. And from a delivery standpoint, we are what we call an executives as a service firm. So rather than being a traditional firm that might come in with a group of people and offer a lot of recommendations and write a big report, Exec HQ comes in to help run companies. So we have all C-suite executives, anywhere from chief executive officers to chief marketing officers, operations people, strategy people.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. So I originally started out working with Pricewaterhouse for about 7 years, and on and off during my career, I've either worked in consulting firms or have been on the receiving side of consulting services. So when I started Exec HQ about 5 years ago, I wanted to solve for a number of the issues that I've seen in consulting firms. So, you know, the number one priority was to make Exec HQ a family first organization where the consultants and their family work-life balance is our highest priority. And obviously, clients come a close second. But secondly, so a lot of consulting firms, unfortunately, have received kind of a bad rap that they come in, they bring in junior people, they, you know, spend a lot of money, write a lot of reports, and kind of hand back a lot of suggestions to management. At ExecHQ, we're more of executives as a service. So let's say a company, their CEO is wearing multiple hats. We can come in and bring in a chief marketing officer or a chief executive officer or any other type of C-suite executive, either on a part-time basis or a full-time basis to help run their companies. So we're not in there developing recommendations and then handing them back to the CEO. We're developing strategy and then helping execute that strategy alongside the company and their team.
Well, that is unique to your point. Obviously, you've been doing this for a while. You've had some successes with this. It sounds like you're doing something more than succession planning. It's whatever the needs are, you're willing to come in and address it. Do you find that the needs range from growing companies? Is that the biggest source of revenue, try to help people get the next level, or is it something else?
So most companies eventually have to exit, whether they're going to transition the business to their children or other people in the family, or they're going to sell it on the open market, or sometimes, you know, they may just liquidate it. Back to your question, our end goal in developing the long-term strategy for the company is to position them so essentially at any time, if they were to receive the right offer or the right circumstances were there, they're in a position to sell at the highest dollar. But usually we're brought in on the front end, either to grow sales or grow profits or grow EBITDA, or to work on, let's call it the multiple. We work very closely with companies to help them increase the value of the company and de-risk the organization. But it could be just as simple as bringing in one of our chief sales officers to build a sales team, or to bring in one of our chief information officers to help them on the technology side. You know, there are a number of entry points where we start with a client, but, you know, we want to work with management to make sure that the long-term strategy is there.
Excellent. So let's talk about, if we could, some of, obviously we're not going to use any names to protect the innocent, but talk about some of the ways that you help. Can you give us an example of maybe one or two experiences that you've had in helping individuals? Let's talk about growing the value of the company for an exit.
Yeah, I'll give you a recent example. We were called into a very successful service company. The owner of the company was also the CEO, and he had bought and sold 15 or 20 companies and felt like he was highly experienced in that area. He kept a very, very tight control on the company that he owned, but he was looking to sell his company. But as we started looking at his company, there were a number of things holding his company to somewhere around a 4 or 5 multiple on their earnings. So we developed a strategy to de-risk the company, to eliminate a lot of the negatives that were driving down the potential valuation. But, and let me just pick one area. So the CEO was wearing probably 10 hats. He was not only the CEO, but the chief information officer, the chief sales officer, the chief marketing officer, the chief operations officer. So over a period of about 6 or 7 months, we brought in about 7 of our executives into the organization on a very limited part-time basis. So when he went to sell, it was no longer him being the only one there that was running the operation, but he had essentially a virtual C-suite. He had a chief information officer, for example, from our team who might be working just a few hours a week, but everybody was brought up enough up to speed on how the organization worked. So he essentially could kind of back off and go play golf, and there was very little risk that the organization would fall apart with him not being there. So that was one of probably 15 different strategies to help them. And the end result is they got bids more in the 7 to 8 multiple instead of 4 or 5 multiple, just because of all of the non-income related aspects that were driving the value down.
You are the first person probably to tell me that for non-financial reasons, they've been able to go in and raise up the multiple. That's impressive. I'm going to have to assume that that's a pretty typical outcome for you. So that's, wow, good for you. So it sounds like, if I was to summarize, the use of your company, I'm not going to say a company like yours, but the use of your company in order to make them run, what, more effectively, more efficiently, having the right people in the right chairs, so to speak. That's a key indicator of how you can ultimately get more money from your business on an exit. Did I say that the right way?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And let's say the company who's acquiring the company, rather than them having to work with a lot of full-time permanent executives and either create packages for them when they leave, or keep them on with some sort of an employment contract. If you've got a C-suite, which has a lot of exec HQ professionals in there, then the acquirer can decide how many they're going to keep on the same contract basis, and they're not long-term contracts. So they can kind of pick and choose who they want to stay on post-acquisition to help either run the company or transition to a new leadership group.
Nice. So I'm already getting that what you're doing is you're bringing in people who are on the ground instead of just talking about it. They're actually, you know, taking off the gloves, getting involved, doing the heavy lifting, and they're showing actual results that people can take to the bank. That's impressive. Have you seen, and I'm just, I hate to say it this way, have you seen situations where people haven't hired you and it's cost them for whatever reason because they failed to take the kind of aggressive approach you're talking about?
Yeah, we run across companies all the time who they don't know that we exist or that you can get executives with 20 plus years of C-suite experience, you know, for, you know, very limited part-time basis or full-time basis that can work as a team. So either a company will try to go through the M&A process and they get so caught up in doing the deal that they lose track of running the business. So the business may drop revenues or drop profits in the midst of a sale, which can have a devastating impact not only on the valuation, but sometimes the buyer may back out because of a significant drop in revenues or profits.
So based on this, what would be your top 2 or 3 pieces of advice who is someone interested in transitioning their business, that is going through some type of exit from their company?
Yeah, good question. The first piece of advice would be to hire a transaction attorney with a high level of experience. A lot of times people just kind of rely on their general counsel who may or may not have transaction experience. But secondly, to bring in a firm like ExecHQ where we can just kind of listen and learn and understand the issues, at least that the leadership has determined, and then through our analysis, come back to the company with the maybe the 10 or 15 items that are most significantly holding back the value of the company. Because a lot of times the executives don't focus on the multiple side of the valuation equation. They look at EBITDA and try to improve the EBITDA. But let's say you're a $10 million company in a $5 million multiple range. You know, you're a $50 million company. But if you can increase the multiple from a 5x earnings to a 7x earnings, then you've now become a $70 million company. But unfortunately, most CEOs don't focus on the multiple side of the equation until, you know, right at the very end. And by that time, it may be too late to make any significant changes.
What's next for you personally and professionally, Jim?
Well, I promised my wife a couple of years ago that eventually, you know, I'm going to need to retire, as probably is every CEO in the United States or in the world. So, you know, we're kind of following our own advice, always keeping our firm positioned, whether the, you know, a sale is this year or 5 years down the line. Because you never really know what the markets are or when opportunities are. So my future is just always keeping our company at a marketable state and doing the best for our customers and also maintaining that culture of being a family first organization.
Excellent. Great insight. Great observation. I learned now through real world experiences of Jim how in operating your business will increase the multiples that you're going to get measured for a return and the ultimate exit from your business. Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Jim, if they want to get a hold of you, how does one reach out to Jim Hoggett at ExecHQ?
Yeah, I'll give you my cell phone is 602-369-2108, or you can email us at solutions@exechq.com. So that's EXECHQ.com. Or you can visit our website at exechq.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Jim. Very informative, very helpful for me personally in dealing with my clients.
Well, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate the invitation. And thanks again for all that you've done for our company.
You're quite welcome. If you're in search of assistance with anything to do that we've talked about today or any of my other podcasts, please go to davidsider.com and schedule a consultation or call me at 816-292-8297. Also, make sure to subscribe to the show, rate it, and leave me a comment on your favorite podcast platform such as Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Everyone be safe until our next show. Goodbye, all. And I want you to know that this podcast is provided for educational purposes. It does not constitute legal advice, and it is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship. The recommendations contained in the podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every individual or business. In determining the best course of action, business owners should consult with an attorney on their distinct circumstances.